to, where did I say to go? Yeah, Colossians? Yes, go to Colossians chapter number 1 once again. Go to Colossians chapter number 1. We did start studying verse by verse through the book of Colossians. At this pace, we're not going to get through the book of Colossians before the rapture. There's just no way. I'm just joking. Some of y'all, Pastor Jordan, he started a series on the book of Ezekiel back, I think, in June of this year. And one of the things that he mentioned when he started that book, he said, you know, this thing has got 48 chapters in it. And he gave the number of verses and that type of thing. And he said, you realize that if we go verse by verse, there's just no way I'm going to get this before I die, even if the rapture doesn't happen, you know. So we're going to try to go a little bit faster in the book of Colossians compared to how he's doing in Ezekiel. But who knows? We'll just see how it goes here. However, what we've been looking at Colossians here is especially the passage in Colossians 1:5. 1:5 when it says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. You see that? The hope which is laid up for you in heaven. And we've been focusing on that, especially the last number of weeks. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer and ask the Lord to be our help and assistance this morning. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to meet now to open your word and to gather together here in person, fellowshipping together around the word of your grace, enjoying one another, enjoying the interaction that we have as members one of another, and meeting together here in person because we believe what you say about in your word, that the body is to edify itself in love, and that one of the ways that that happens is as we do have this personal interaction with each other in your word and in each other's lives. And we thank you for this great privilege that you have presented to us as being members one of another in Christ. We ask, Father, that as we continue to look at that hope that is laid up for us in heaven, that we might see it more clearly and anticipate it with excitement and joy. And as the Apostle Paul tells us, that we would be looking for it with eager anticipation and excitement. And we'll thank you for this precious truth in Christ's name. Amen. All right, when you look again at these verses here, Colossians chapter number 1, I'm going to go back to verse 3. We've already gone in great detail through these verses. He says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. That's the starting point, right? And of the love which you have to all the saints. That's the awareness of grace functioning in us. That is, you function on the basis of love and you appreciate the church, the body of Christ. That phrase, they're all the saints. How can you love all the saints when you don't know all the saints? Well, you love what God's doing. God knows all the saints. And you love the body of Christ. You love what He's doing. And so you love your participation in the body of Christ. But by the way, you don't know all the saints, but you know each other. So you should love each other, yes? Okay, so go ahead. Go ahead. I appreciate each other. That's a good thing, right? All right, so he says at verse 5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Where have you heard before? In the word, the truth of the gospel. And the gospel there is a reference to the gospel, the grace of God, the gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to the Apostle Paul for us in the dispensation of grace. Now, when he talks about the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, we've already spent probably 5 or 6 weeks talking about this, and I'll just kind of review it this way. Where are you going to go when you die? How long are you going to be there? What are you going to do there? You're going to praise the Lord. Amen. Yes, that's true. What are you going to do there? You're going to function as a member of the body of Christ in one of those thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers. You're going to be placed in those positions that are in Christ above every name. You're going to be serving the Lord Jesus Christ, functioning under and by the power and ability of the grace of God to do God's will. When you look with me, hold Colossians 1 there, go back to Ephesians chapter 2, please, if you would. Ephesians chapter number 2. So go back with me to Ephesians chapter number 2 and watch this. Look at verse 6. I'll go back to verse 4. I got a question. What book did I just ask you to go to? I did say Ephesians. Okay, good. That's what I wanted. For some reason, I was saying Ephesians, but I was hearing myself saying Galatians, and I'm thinking, no, that's not what I want. Yeah, that was last time, right? Yeah. Or else I'm becoming schizophrenic, right? Which is okay. But, you know, by the way, if you are schizophrenic, it's a good thing you're just like Paul, because Paul said that he was beside himself. I'm here, but now I'm here. I'm beside myself, right? So, you guys should have fired me a long time ago. Man, for many, many reasons. But you guys like the pain and the suffering. But anyway, look what he says at Ephesians 2:4. He says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us." By the way, what is God's great love wherewith He loved us? That's the cross. That's Calvary. It says, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ." The emphasis, together with Christ. Together, together, together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. "And hath raised us up," and there's that word again, "together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Okay, why? Now connect this with the hope that is laid up for you in heaven. Here's why He raised us up positionally and set us with Christ in those heavenly places. Here's why. That in the ages to come, that's not going to be longer than a week or so. That's how long that the ages to come. And notice its ages is plural. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You couple that together with Paul's statement, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven," boy, it is sure described in that verse right there. Those heavenly places where we have been raised up and set together with Christ in those heavenly places, one of the reasons that God has put us there in Christ is so that He, in the ages upon the ages upon the ages, He can show, He will put on display the exceeding greatness, the kindness, the marvelous nature of His grace toward us in Christ Jesus. The church, the body of Christ, truly, you, as members one of another in Christ, the church, the body of Christ, really and truly, we are going to be the trophies of God's grace. He's going to put on display the magnitude, the genius of what grace actually is and what it accomplishes through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you're a part of. And for all eternity. In fact, you're in Ephesians chapter number 2, right? This time go to Ephesians chapter number 3. We're going to come back to chapter 2 just a moment. Look at chapter 3, verse 20. It says this, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly..." Didn't we just see that word, exceeding? Didn't we just see that word? Back in chapter number 2, "In the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace." So in chapter number 3, He guarantees it's going to come to pass. Chapter 3, verse 20. "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." What's the power that worketh in us right now? It's God's Word. And it's God's Word that is going to be functioning for all eternity, by which He accomplishes His purpose. Watch verse 21. "Unto Him be glory," where? In the church. Who's that? That's you. It says, "Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus for how long?" Throughout all ages. And then it says, "World without end." And what did the saints say?
Amen.
The saints say, "Amen." Jesus Christ said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away." So this world is going to end. But the one you just read about there in Ephesians chapter number 3, that one's not going to end. That's going to be a world without end. That's not talking about this world right now. And when the Lord Jesus Christ, when He brings this dispensation to a close by that shout that we spoke about 2 weeks ago, and we're going to continue to talk a little bit more about today and everything, because the question is, how are we going to get from here to there? Well, He's going to come and catch us away. He's going to gather us together and get us out of here. and into those heavenly places and think about the ages to come, the ages to come, the ages to come. That in those ages to come, He might show the exceeding. What does the word exceeding mean? What's that mean? It excels beyond. So if you think one thing was wonderful, wait till you see what He's got next. Okay? You've heard me kind of say it this way before. Just to kind of illustrate it, it's like, okay, when we get placed out there in the heavenly places, as it were, and then God puts on display His grace, so you're going to have, say, one age. This is just an illustration, okay? So don't make this exact spot on, okay? So in this age, He's going to show the riches of His grace. He is going to wow not only us. He's going to wow the universe. And so that age is going to go, as it were. And we're just going to be over the top impressed. And then God's going to say, okay, now we're going to go into the next age. And He's going to show even more of the capacity and extent of His grace. And it's just going to cause us to be so overflowing to the top with just love and appreciation and thanksgiving and honor. And then that age is going to go by. And He's going to bring another one. And then we're going to say, no, Lord, we can't handle anymore. Please, no more grace. There's so much. By the way, we're not going to do that, okay? But it's a crazy illustration, but it's true. That principle is true. That each age upon each age upon each age, He's going to continue to show the exceeding riches of His grace. How His grace, how rich He is in His grace, and how it's going to exceed beyond what had previously been manifested. And it's just going to go on and on and on. World without end. And the saints say what?
Amen.
You see that there? Friends, I'm not making this up. And I'm not trying, I don't need to embellish anything. This is, even when I try to embellish it, it doesn't even come close to the reality of what this is. Now, what we began to talk about a couple of weeks ago in connection with this is the fact that, okay, we got to get out of here into there. And so that event that we call the rapture, even though that word doesn't appear in the King James Bible, the doctrine certainly does. We saw over in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 that we're going to be... In fact, let's look at these two phrases again. You want to get these phrases. So if you're talking to someone about the rapture and they say, oh, no, there's no such thing as the rapture because the word rapture doesn't even appear in your Bible and everything. Well, okay, fine. But look at these phrases that do appear in your Bible. Look over to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 16, it says this, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be," what's the next phrase there? "Caught up together." That's the doctrine. That's the event that we're talking about. And we've already studied it verse by verse down through this here already. You see, this event is absolutely going to happen. How can I say that with such confidence? How come I can say that with such confidence? Is it because I'm so smart? Yes or no?
No.
You're right. No, I'm not so smart. Okay. but how can I say that with such confidence? Because that's what God says. That's what God's Word says. Don't believe it because I say it. Believe it because you just read it in your own Bible there. You read it with your own eyes. You heard it with your own ears and so forth. The Word of God says, "The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God." And when that happens, bang, we're going to go. It says there, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." 18 says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." And then if you look at 2 Thessalonians, look at 2 Thessalonians. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. This is all quick review here. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, it says this, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and by," look at the next phrase, "our gathering together unto Him." So when you put those two phrases together, by the way, that we're going to be caught up together, our gathering together, that doctrine is the doctrine that when we're talking about the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, that's the doctrine we're talking about. It's important, by the way, to note that when he says, are you still there in 2 Thessalonians 2? At verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering. Do you realize in the Bible, there, Christ, at His second coming, He's going to gather someone else. That's right. In the prophecy program, when the chart... Let me move this over real quick here. In the prophecy program, when the chart is closed, the Lord Jesus Christ talks about the Son of Man is going to come with His angels and He's going to send His angels to gather together His elect. And in the prophecy program, His elect is the nation of Israel, the remnant out of Israel. So there's someone else He's going to gather together. But the passage in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 talks about our gathering together. That our gathering together that Paul speaks about in 2 Thessalonians 2:1 is different, a different gathering that happens at the end of the tribulation period when Jesus Christ returns and gathers Israel who have been scattered. So those are two distinct gatherings. So when he says our gathering together. Now, what I want you to do is this, therefore. Go with me over to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Two weeks ago, we looked at some additional details about the shout. Those which are alive and remain are caught up together, and then we're caught up together with those that have died in Christ. So what we're going to look at specifically here in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, we're going to look at some of the details that that I think that probably most of us in this room, if not all of us in this room, really kind of are looking forward to. Let me ask it this way. How many of you, when you woke up this morning and you moved, you went, oh, that hurts? I mean, just to open your eyes, you went, oh, that hurt. No. You know, you know, you woke up and then you, okay, I got to get out of bed. So you go, oh, okay, honey, help. You know, whatever. Obviously, I'm kind of being a little crazy here. But maybe not. Yeah, right? Tom and Debbie got here early to help set everything up and everything, and she asked for a very special dispensation this morning. She told me that she's been up since 2:30 in the morning. She had to work and everything. She said, so can I sleep at least for the first message? I said, you got it. I went like that. Yes, you have a special dispensation. Okay. But understand this. You know, even if you feel great, you don't feel great when you got to wake up at 2 in the morning. At least I don't, right? Kind of a thing. But you understand that over time, what happens is as time goes on, you don't even need to watch to keep track of time because your body reminds you time's moving fast. Right? So the physical infirmities, the health issues, from head to toe, whatever they might be, you experience them. And the reason I said most here today is because, you know, there's some youngsters here today where, you know, the youngsters today are thinking, what is the preacher talking about? I have no idea what that guy is saying. You know, well, just give us some time, okay? Give a few more years, okay, and so forth. But the fact is that there's an event that's going to happen that the Word of God tells us about that we as believers should look forward to as part of when Paul calls, you're in 1 Corinthians, right? He calls the coming of Christ for us the blessed hope. Hold on to 1 Corinthians and go back to Titus chapter number 2. I'm sorry I've got you all over the place and confused this morning. But look at this here. Look at this. When he says Titus 2, verse 13, and then we're going to come right back to 1 Corinthians 15. So Titus 2:13 says this, looking for that, and what's the word just before hope? Blessed. 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 Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. You ever wondered why he calls it blessed? Let me just list a couple of quick things here We're not going to dive into detail on these right now because I want to get back to 1 Corinthians 15. He calls it the blessed hope, number one, because it's prior to the tribulation period. Number two, it's because we're going to receive glorified, resurrected bodies at that event. Bodies fashioned like unto Christ's own body. Number three, we're going to see, once again, the loved ones who have already gone on to be with the Lord. Number four, we're going to see Christ, which is the most blessed thing of all. Number five, we're going to be taken from this present evil world into the heavenly places. Number six, we're going to appear at the judgment seat of Christ, at which all those things, all that wood, hay, and stubble is going to be totally burned up forever and never haunt us again. Number seven, we're going to be presented to Christ, holy and without blame. Number eight, in turn, we're going to be presented to the Father, holy and without blemish. Number nine, we're going to be perfectly conformed to the image of His Son. Number ten, we're actually going to be installed into those thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers in which the Lord Jesus Christ will be put on display in us as the very trophies of God's grace. Does that sound blessed? And those are just some of the things. It's amazing what's going to happen. But before all of that can happen, there's got to be a pretty significant change to these present bodies that we have. Yes or no? What do you think? Yeah, definitely. Not just because we want it to, but because it has to happen. Over in 1 Corinthians 15, you can go back there with me, please, if you would. Look at what the Apostle Paul says. We're going to jump right into our context here. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. And we're going to go... why don't we start at about verse 45. He says, 15:45, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul." Remember Genesis chapter number 1, when God formed man of the dust of the ground. "And He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life," because that's what was in God. When God breathes, what comes out of Him is life. "And He breathed into His nostrils the breath of life." And what did man become? He became living. A living soul. That which didn't exist before. It says, the first man... It says, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam... Now, who's the last Adam? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not going to be another Adam. The history really is a story of two Adams. Adam the first, think Genesis, and Adam the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not going to be another Adam. There's not going to be another lineage from which human race can come or a creature can come. There's the first Adam and then there's the last Adam. And it says this... Verse 45, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made," notice, "a quickening spirit." That's verse 45 there. "A quickening, a life-giving spirit." He's able to give life. "Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth." And what is he? He's just earthy. He's just of the dust of the ground. He's just flesh. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, that which is born of the flesh, what is He going to say? Is flesh. And that's all it ever can be. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. It can never advance anywhere beyond being what it is in its nature. It's flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. The first man is of the earth. He's earthy. Think the dust of the ground. From dust thou art, and to dust shalt thou return. When that verse says the first man is of the earth, he's earthy. So if you're in the first man, what's your destiny? The dust of the ground. Death is your king. Death is your boss. Death is the one who has right to claim your body and will. Because if you're in Adam, and by the way, even as a believer, our fleshly bodies are still connected to Adam. You understand that? They're still of the dust of the ground. That verse says here, the first man is of the earth, earthy. And guess who the second man is? What's it say there? The second man is the Lord. There's His humanity and there's His deity. And guess where He came from? He came from heaven. He doesn't come from the dust of the ground. The second man is the Lord. from heaven. God sent His Son, God the Son, who became flesh, who became a man. God sent Him from heaven to rescue men that were cursed and bound by Adam's sin and the curse on the earth. God sent, as that verse says, it says the first man is of the earth, the second man. There's only two Adams and there's only two men. And you got to get out of the first Adam to get into the last Adam, because the destiny of that first Adam, man, is earthy. That's as far as he can attain. That's as high as he can go. But the second man is the Lord from heaven. So if He's the Lord from heaven and you get in Him, guess where He can take you? To heaven. Isn't that wonderful? Think about that. He says this, as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. That's your hope. Where are you going to go when you die? Your body's going to go to the dust of the ground because you're earthy. That's what it's connected to. It says, as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy, and as is the heavenly. That's Jesus Christ. Such are they also that are heavenly. A totally different nature. One from the earth, that's as high as it can go. The other from heaven, that's where it's going to go. Back to heaven. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, have we and do we?
Yes.
You see that? So just as sure as we have borne the image of the earthy, and we have and we still do, our physical bodies, look at what the verse goes on to guarantee. As we have borne the image of the earthy,
we shall.
What does it say, Tom? Loud? Tom and Tom, there you go. We shall. You see the guarantee, you see the promise there? We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. And who is the heavenly? The Lord from heaven. We right now, in our flesh. By the way, sin has been condemned in the flesh. And therefore, the body is dead because of sin. And that's in a believer. Your body is going to go to the dust of the ground. Okay? Your body hasn't been redeemed yet. You'll look around, you know. All right? When you got pain and it hurts and everything, just say, yep, my body hasn't been redeemed yet. My body is still part of the earth. It's earthy. That's as high as it can ever go. Back to the dust of the low place, the dust of the ground. But as we've borne the image of the earthy, so shall we also bear the image of the heavenly. Hold that verse there. And look over to Romans 8. Look over to Romans 8. What's that going to look like? To bear the image of the heavenly? Because we don't bear His image just yet, but we're going to. Look at Romans chapter number 8. And watch with me at verse 29. We've read this passage before in this present series. Romans 8, verse 29. For whom He did foreknow... Romans 8:29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. So you have a predetermined destiny for the body of Christ. Right? And what is your predetermined destiny? What's it say there? For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. You are going to bear the image of the heavenly. That's the connection you want to make. When Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, as we born the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. And what it's going to look like is promised in that verse right there. Perfectly conformed to the image of His Son. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. You see that there? Look at this passage. Look over to this passage over in Philippians chapter number 3. And by the way, hold 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to come back. Man. You notice one thing we did not bring with us to this building. Who can guess what it was? Look around. You know what? When you come to church in this building, we actually enter a time warp. Time ceases to exist. Yes? No? Come on, I was hoping everybody would say yes. Yeah. Okay, but look at this passage here over in Where did I say? Did I say to go anywhere? Philippians chapter number 3. Look at this here. Look at this passage. Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians 3 verse 20. It says this. Philippians 3:20. For our conversation, where is it? Oh, that's where our destiny is. We're going to bear the image of the heavenly. That's where He came from. That's where He's going to take us to. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior. Doesn't that kind of sound similar to Titus chapter number 2? Looking for something and someone and an event. Looking for that blessed hope. We're looking for the Savior, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior. Here this passage says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, don't you love His full title right there? We're looking for the Savior. Who is He? He's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's His title. That's the honor of His name, as they say. And guess what He's going to do? He's going to change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. Just kind of dwell upon that for a few moments. A glorious body. What comes to mind? A glorious body. A resurrected body. What else?
Perfect,
free from any kind of suffering and pain. What else? Think way beyond that, by the way. And that's true, but...
No desires of the flesh.
Excellent. What else? A glorious body. What's that?
In perfect harmony
with the will of God, every thought, word, deed, a glorious body. A body, let me use it this way. We mentioned about the lights. Think about what light bulbs, what are they? And when I say what are they, I don't mean like it's a filament and it's a little casing and it's a vacuum and stuff like that. What are they? What's a light bulb?
Light givers. That's right.
You've got electricity that passes through, however it does and everything. The light bulb puts something on display. It illuminates. It manifests in a visible way what is called the electricity. It's fascinating. People even nowadays say, well, we don't exactly know what electricity is. We know what it does. So don't touch both hot wires because you'll find out real quick. You'll light up and everything. When the Scripture talks about His glorious body, your resurrected, glorified body is going to shine.
Amen.
It's going to shine with the capacity and power of the Word of God functioning in you, manifesting out of you. Right now, we live in these earthen vessels. Vessels just made of clay. The most they can do is break. Try it. Get a clay pot, drop it on the ground, see if it bounces. It won't. It will break, okay? So the most that these bodies can do right now relative to the body is a break. But we're going to receive a glorified body, one fashioned like unto the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that body is going to have the capacity, the ability for the treasure of the Word of God that's inside of us to shine out and it not destroy the vessel. Isn't that amazing? That verse says, verse 21, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. According to what plan? What purpose? What's it say there? According to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things, that's the all things of Colossians 1, unto Himself. There is a plan and a purpose that God had before the foundation of the world. Listen, way back here before the chart even begins. Before the foundation of the world, there's a plan and purpose that God had by which He's going to bring to pass a creature, a new creature. And in that new creature, that one new man, He's going to magnify, display the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. That's that plan. So all this is going to happen. We're going to be caught up. They're going to be changed according to that purpose, that plan. Now, here's what I'd like you to do, because we're obviously I don't have any the time, but this week, do this. So I got a quick call it homework, because by nature, people do not like homework. So let's call it some. What else can we call it instead of homework? What can we call it?
Edification
work. There you go. Thank you. Bible study work between now and next Sunday. Okay. I want you to read and read again and again and again. Read 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. It's all about resurrection and several different aspects of the fact of Christ's resurrection, why it's important, why it matters, things like that. So go and read 1 Corinthians 15. And then what we're going to do next Sunday, we'll pick up where we left off at verse 50 when he says, "Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God." Well, if that's the case, again, therefore something has to happen. There has to be a change to these current flesh and blood bodies if we're going to get out there. Okay, and we'll study in further detail about what's going to happen here. So, let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for the time that we have been able to look into your word and compare some verses and think about the blessed hope, why it is blessed, what makes it blessed, why we should look for it, which is that looking for the Lord Jesus Christ who shall return from heaven for us. And one of the amazing things that's going to happen, he's going to change these vile bodies that they may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. And Father, we can believe these things because you say them. This is not a fairy tale. This is not myths. This is not things that man has made up. Father, these are details about your eternal purpose to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in all things. Well, thank you for this in his precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen.